Happy New Year, Swazzers! We're back, people. And some start to 2024, it's been for our beloved Bluebirds. Here at Swazz, we all agreed to do the next episode after our first big signing, which in fairness, we thought was going to be the first week or two of the new year, but how wrong we were. What other team in the Championship can go from a couple steps off playoffs to then our manager talking about walking through the door in the space of about 2 weeks? But now the whirlwind of January has finally calmed down and potential blue skies are over the horizon. We may just be okay here in the capital. But before we get into any of that good stuff, firstly, let me introduce the right-hand man, William Kosh. Koshy, how are you after January has now come to a close?
Oh, good, now January's come to a close, like you said, obviously. Christmas pay, and then you get end of the month, you get early. So I was looking forward to February as soon as possible. I was looking forward to see what was happening in the window for us, because even the start of the season, before our very first episode, I was looking forward to January. Because I always knew, like, obviously, the ban would be lifted. I always knew we'd do well in January in terms of loans, and I was interested to see what we could do with an actual bit of budget, and how interesting it's been.
That's one way of putting it, Will. That's one way of putting it. But secondly, I'm very excited to announce we are joined by someone who you were probably keeping up with on Twitter for the past month. It's the one and only Henry Say. Henry, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm good. Battered and bruised after January, but I'm still standing. You know, we got there in the end. I think it's a key thing to look at. We got there in the end.
That's one way of putting it. Well, welcome now to Season 4, Episode 10. We're now on of A Bit of Swazz. And remember, we're at SwazzPod on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. So like, love, share, comment and most importantly, subscribe. So as we know, there was so much going on off the pitch at the club that on the pitch performances really took a hit and somewhat of a backseat, you could say, to many people. But the first fixture of January was QPR away, and unfortunately, the only 3 points we picked up for the whole month. But nonetheless, it was a half-decent performance against a poor Championship side, which resulted in a 2-1 win, a fantastic header in the opening 16 minutes from Gutas, which clearly brought out a lot of emotions, and of course, we wish himself and his family all the best to what is going on over there. And despite Northern Irish player Paul Smith picking up an equaliser in the second half, it was none other than the main man himself, Perry Engie, to grab the winner in the last quarter of the match. What a guy. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Just what a man. What a man, what a guy. Will, is this a classic fixture, QPR away, around New Year's Day?
Yeah. And to be honest, it's a fixture that we don't really look forward to as Cardiff fans. Especially with the last five games. We've lost the last five games played on New Year's Day. And the last one we had is in 2013 against Birmingham City.
Wow.
And funny enough, we have played QPR recently on Boxing Day as well. On New Year's Day, sorry. And played them twice recently, saying that. In 2018, where it was 2-1. And we also lost 6-1 in 2020, if you remember that game.
So but, that was, so 2013 was our last victory on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
11 years, honestly. Something symbolic about that number. 11, 12, 13. Do you know what I mean? It's a pattern. For you Blue Bears, yeah. Notice it's a pattern. Most definitely.
Going back to the game, obviously set pieces. How good is it to be back? How good are we? A set of pieces again. It's nice. And obviously, something that got underlooked, maybe under Morrison, in terms of getting height in that defence and being a threat from set pieces. And if we had our set pieces, it would have been very troubling for us in this month. Obviously, us in-game, trying to score a goal hasn't been good recently, creating chances, and we're kind of reliant on set pieces dramatically, really.
And we're going to get into the other games in the month now, but Henry, is it going to cause a problem for the rest of the season, or has it caused a problem for the season, that the fact that set pieces seem to be the only way we can create goals?
We started well scoring goals. We were scoring from open play.
And with Ramsey, though.
With Ramsey, of course. And then they started us to slow down. And then set pieces seemed to be our only real option. it's probably why the reason Panzo never got a look in, because we needed that goal threat from the two starting set backs.
Yeah.
It was goals from set pieces and corners that kept us hanging on to that mythical date of January the 1st, in the hope we'd get players in to start helping us, get goals in open play.
Yeah.
Well, it's safe to say from that fixture, it went downhill in all aspects. I mean, speaking of classics, we had the opportunity to see our beloved Bluebirds play in the FA Cup. But of course, not for long, as we got absolutely battered 4-0 by newly promoted Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, I know we played in a lot of... We're not a squad with a lot of depth, and we played in a lot of backup players, you could say, and Xavier Benjamin making an appearance and so on. But I think we can all agree, lads, the less said about that fixture, the better. But any positives to take, Will, do you think?
Yeah, some academy players had a game. At the time, Ramota had a game, and I thought he did quite well. And obviously he's gone now, but don't have to worry about that. But it's a bit weird, obviously. Winter plays centre-half, which is obviously not what you want to see, is it? But
showed that depth.
Yeah, it did at the time. And then obviously, this is probably sparked bullets, calling the board out, really, in these players dramatically. And obviously, Cup runs aren't meant to be this year. And to be honest, focus on the league, try and build on what we got, and then obviously try and get a good finish down to the end of the season.
Well, yeah, the following fixture, we need to get through them, lads. It hurts, but we need to get through them. The following fixture was against the top of the Championship, and one big fixture at home against Leeds United, another classic, which in all fairness felt like it was over before it even started, which was shown when Bamford scored in the first 13 minutes of the game, and then it was then followed by Dan James, and then Rutton in the second half. I mean, Henry, did this game just prove how far we are off from this level?
It showed that we were running on fumes. It showed
the depth,
the lack of depth. One or two key injuries, and the massive voids in the team. I think one of the things that came out of recent weeks is we don't have a Championship standard centre half. Eze still. You can't write him off completely yet. He's still a work in progress. Yak isn't a striker; he's a winger.
Oh, a centre forward. Okay.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. Centre forward. Sorry.
Yeah.
We don't have a Championship quality.
Agreed.
Centre forward. I don't think. I mean, the truth is, Yak or Eze don't start for any of the teams as a striker in the Championship.
I agree.
I don't think so, and I think. And a striker brings in all your attackers. That's why I'm not really, a lot of people haven't been impressed with Bola the last few months. I'm not fully writing him off until he plays with a much more traditional centre forward who can bring him in, who can give him a target to aim at and a target to play off.
Yeah. No, you can definitely tell that by how the way he's set in, and even from where he's had success also. It's been from playing off the striker a lot and then taking on a player and then playing a little 1-2. Yeah, Bowler's a funny one.
I really like Bowler. I think he's quality.
It gives a good traditional nine gives everyone a target. It gives Corwell a target to pass to and run off. It gives the winners a target to play off. They tie up a centre half, which creates more space. But January post the QPR game, we just struggle to get the ball forward, and we don't by not getting the ball forward, we keep the pressure on us, and to do that against Leeds, it's like being in a boxing fight with one arm climbing your back.
Yeah, I don't think the midfield's helped mine with Bowler in terms of not making those forward runs for him or third man runs so he can move in or cut inside. I think it's been. Hasn't helped him at all, really. And he tried to take on players on his own, man. He beat one, and then they've doubled up on him. And I think that's the problem.
The problem we've had at the moment in recent weeks, in attack, is we're almost asking players to do individual magic.
Yeah.
Play like R9. Pick the ball up at halfway line, skin five players, put it in the bottom corner. It doesn't happen.
Especially in the Championship.
Yeah, it... it So hopefully now with the players that come in, the ball will move forward quicker. You know, so it doesn't give defenses time to set and you know take you know and mark players out, and it'll give the wingers more to work with.
Definitely. But the next fixture, don't worry, lads, it's nearly over. But the last fixture of the dreaded month of January was in form Plymouth at Home Park, which we started great. In all fairness, with Perry Henry slamming in after the ball fell to him in the box after a Ryan Wintle corner. Again, goal from a corner. But once again, it went all downhill from there. How many times have I got to say it? But outplayed and outclassed after that first goal, really, with Ryan Hardy claiming the inevitable equaliser and then grabbing another in the second half and topped off by ex-Jack Morgan Whittaker to rub salt in the wounds. Like I mentioned, our only goals coming from NG and Gutas. I mean, that just exemplifies what you said, Henry, is the fact that we do not have a championship level centre forward.
Well, I thought, you know, Hardy was comfortably better than we played as a striker. You
100%.
Know, just and again, it's you know, it's an old saying, it's like playing with 10 men. You know, the strikers, you know. Yak and Eki just don't cut it, which is reality.
It's an unfortunate reality as well, to say the least. But it's true, and like you said about Atete as well, I think he has a big future at the club. I really do, and he has the moments of where he impresses, and he's had a few goals as well this season. I mean, out of the players we've got now that Ugbo's gone back, he has got the most goals. I mean, we mentioned that last episode with Blakey, but. Yeah, I like you said, he shouldn't be our starting striker. I think we can all three of us can agree on that. He should not be our starting striker in the championship if we're going to make any type of noise.
Well, definitely not the starting striker in that system.
No,
I think he works better. He works better with two.
Yeah,
especially if you think about the Watford game. It was him and Calvert up top. Maybe the best two up top. Actually, best performance I've seen in a long time. The two strikers up top.
You know, so. It's and again they're struggling from service from midfield. So even if you're not, you know, you the strikers aren't up to standard, they're feeding off scraps.
Yeah,
100%. But I mean, after that 3-1 loss is when panic stations started to go all over Cardiff, as Bullitt spoke to the press after the game and expressed his frustration of the lack of movement in the transfer window, and even stated, and I quote, "I have to maybe make a decision for myself and how my future will go with the club, because I came here to change some things in a positive way." And of course, social media went ballistic. Henry, do you think Bullitt was trying to do something here? Because he made some pretty big statements for a manager to come out and say. I mean, we always knew he was outspoken. We've seen before the transfer window when he was saying about players he wanted again. Even within the media, he's very straightforward and transparent. But do you think he was trying to get some action from what his comments?
I think there's a combination of things here. There's a brilliant film, I don't know if you've seen it, called Moneyball with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
About baseball.
There's
a fantastic line in it where he says, "I hate losing more than I enjoy winning."
Yeah.
I think Bullitt is frustrated because he wants to win.
Yeah.
And anyone who looks at 11, you can perhaps play Grant up top for a game or two. But that'll get worked out. And that needs the midfield to get the balls from exactly where he needs them. You know, so you can tinker a few things, but all tinkering does is hide the void in the team. Now, if we go back to last summer, his top target was a Duke, and they caught him. They missed out because we couldn't offer him Champions League football. This is where he got in Belgium. We know going into this window, the key targets were Keith Moore and this, oh, what's the name of the Greek captain, Will?
Bakasetas.
And it, you know, even though Bullitt downplayed it in December, the club was still negotiating to try and get him.
Hmm.
And he ended up getting some insane 3.5-year deal.
Panathinaikos, yeah.
For a guy who's north of 30, that shows you how competitive the bidding was.
Yeah.
Because I may, if I had the the authority. I may have stretched to a 3-year deal, may 3.5 deal, 3.5, you know, years is you know, I you know, even if we could, I would, even if he agreed to our deal, I wouldn't do that deal.
Yeah, of course not.
You know, so it's clear by that time they missed out on all that, you know, not all, but a lot of their top targets.
And do you think Bullard was just expressing his frustration with that in the sense, of that he wanted, like you said, he's a winner, he wants to get them signings in, and but do you think he was?
I go back to the point, obviously back to that Moneyball point of like winning mentality and stuff. I think all the players he's brought in have shown that. Obviously Turnbull at Celtic is what won loads for Celtic. He's playing the Champions League football, which I think is a big statement of getting someone like that in the team.
I think Turnbull represents a classic example when one door closes, a better option appears. I think he's a better option than the Greek captain. He may not be the better player yet, but he's only 24 and his contract runs out in 2027. He won't even be trying by then. So no. Turnbull could be our midfield dynamo for the next 10 years.
That's what I'm saying. Plus the fact the experience he's had already at Celtic is massive.
And he's
used to winning every game.
Like, he is. I mean, yeah, you know, people question, you know, they say, oh, the SPL isn't particularly high standard. But if you play for Celtic, if you play for Rangers in that environment, it's a high-pressured game. Yeah. So he's going to be used to that pressure. And if you look at it at a financial point of view, you know, we got rid of Rhino and Adams. Well, you know, we just literally swapped those two players' wages and given it to Turnbull. So it's a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
If you know, he wouldn't have been on what he wouldn't have got, you know, we would have had to given the Greek federal a lot more.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And plus, he could have played 10 times more than both of them combined in the play this season. He kept them anyway.
Yeah. So I think it's, and if you watch him play, you know, if we assume they keep the same formation, it'll be Shopsis in the 6, Turnbull in the 8. And a returning Ramsey or Caldwell in the 10. We might even put Turnbull in the 10. He's going to get that ball moving forward.
Well, 100%. Well, let's discuss him now. Let's discuss, because I think really he's the main story of the transfer window. I mean, we were going to go into signings a bit later on, but I think now's the perfect time to say it. Like, is he the perfect addition, do you feel, that we need right now in our struggling midfield?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so as well. I think, especially what I've seen, the stats-wise, we're the second worst in the league for touching the opposition box. Yeah, David Turnbull's stats on his own, touching the opposition box, is very high for a midfielder. He's also got, 49 goals, 32 assists and 182 appearances. I spoke to my mates from Scotland and he suggested, and said that, very dangerous going forwards. Maybe you need legs around him, but he also got a lot of goals and created a lot of chances. Expect a lot of long shots and he's very good at free kicks, so that's the feedback I got from there. But obviously interested, maybe said that legs around him is vital. So, but I think we also need that extra creative player in midfield. As I said, we need those runners into the box, so that gives people like Bowler more space and more time as well. And I think it'd be a good signing. And to be honest, I might put it out there now, I think give it a couple of years, he could be the long-term replacement for Rolls. That's how I see it, as Roll. Box to box, I think you get better and better. Still very young, as you mentioned, but I think he's that type of player. And I think he might contribute more with goals and assists than Rawls would.
I go with that. I mean, we tried to get. I'm going to apologise to everyone because there were so many different names that have come up.
You don't have to apologise on this, Waz Henry. Don't you worry.
I'm just going to talk about the club. So we tried to get African midfielder who put himself out his contract. Will, what's his name? Remember?
Ndiaye,
I think so. But he just wanted silly money. So that killed the deal instantly. If you watch clips of him, he just drove the ball forward. And I think Turnbull does that, but he's also more skillful.
Yeah. It's progressive carries, isn't it? That's the bigger thing in football these days.
It just moves the ball
and stuff. Yeah.
You know, if you look at how we played the last few months, you know, we players didn't want that responsibility of passing the ball forward, so they just keep passing it sideways. And of course, if the other team is pressing, they win the ball back and they win it back in our half, and it keeps the pressure on. I mean, people are saying about the officers not playing well. All the officers wants to do is break up play and play the simple pass.
Yeah, it's that, and plus he's been playing so much recently. Like, obviously, we have the players we signed, and like could play in that midfield area, but he needs a rest. And also with Turnbull in that midfield now, you wouldn't have to do much as running. Maybe Turnbull could keep the ball a bit more, bit longer. And obviously Ramsey's back as well. I think Siop is just crying up for a break as well, and that didn't help.
Well, he's also been worked out. Sorry. He's also been worked out. If you put a physical player on him, it stops his game. So. But if you can get around that by allowing him to give the simple pass to Turnbull, then you've taken another team's midfielder out of play.
Well, yeah, that was my instant reaction, to be honest. I mean, what you just said there was, I feel like it was someone who Siopsis, when he does win the ball, he can then play it straight to Turnbull, so then he can bring it forward and get us going up the pitch. I feel like that two in midfield sounds so well, especially Turnbull. He's a big lad as well. He's not exactly small.
Yeah.
And then you've got 6'1", and then you've got Siopsis with his legs. I mean, say Ramsey does come back, he's already back in training, which is fantastic news, as we know, but our three in midfield, say come for the back end of the season, we always say it's how you finish the championship. I don't like to get overexcited and all this type of stuff, but I mean, it's looking good. It's definitely 100% looking good. And to be honest, you know, I felt weird about the whole situation was the fact that seeing us buy a player again, like 2.3 million. Like, when was the last time we spent over 2 million on a player? I know we've had this transfer ban, but I can't remember the last time we spent over 2 million on a player. I really couldn't tell you.
I can't remember how much Robinson was.
Robinson was, he was just under a million, wasn't he? Or just over a million?
Wasn't under a million. He may be 1.8. Maybe. I'm 100%
sure he never hit two. I'm sure he never hit two.
But you know,
I'm sure we've gone quite cheap.
You know, we were paying a loan fee for the Man City midfielder. Who again, we talk about getting a better deal. Giles looked like he was done. I was here and it was in almost, I mean, I use that phrase everyone hates, in the bag. It's something happened in the last, or you know, relatively close to the end, and it didn't happen. But they were asking, I think the deal then was loan Giles to the end of the season with an obligation then to buy him for quite a big chunk of change. I quite like the look in this. Sorry, Will, you're going to have to give me his name, the new Man City guy.
Oh, the left back on loan. Oh, yeah, that is Esperand Wilson.
Yeah, he's played a couple of positions, even could play midfield.
Yeah.
And I believe there's not an obligation, but an option to buy there as well, for a lot less than what they wanted for Giles.
I think that's an interesting player that I think we've got on our hands, by the way. Obviously, he came from Man City and West Ham Academy. He's gone to France, played a Coventry as well, 14 games for Coventry, so he understands the championship. It's not like his first year in the league. And versatile, I think versatile is massive. You think back, the versatile players we've had in the past, people like Patterson, for example, massive. And those are players you need in the championship. And I think they're really vital in order for you to get where you want to be. And it gives you an option as well, like knowing you could trust him in multiple positions.
You know, he's got that combination that we've had energy in the past. You know, those players who can run around but can't pass. As Will said, he's come from Man City, who's got the best academy, definitely in the UK. He's gonna have the energy, the pace, and he's gonna have the skill set.
Plus experience as well now.
Yeah, and he's gonna be able to play with the ball also. And he's not exactly very young. He's 21 now. He's gonna be looking to really prove himself in his career and move on. And if he's not getting to the Man City team at 21, then it's not looking too positive for him. But it doesn't mean he's not a good player and doesn't have the ability.
It also shows as well how good, like, for example, the last couple of years, obviously we were loaning players from Man City, like Doyle, for example. It shows how much clubs like Man City now trust us with getting their players, getting their experience. As you said, obviously it might be an option to buy, but if it wasn't, and they do see a future with him, at least they teams like Man City, one of the best teams in the world, see Cardiff City as a good option, place and option for a player to go and get game time and develop.
100%. We've worked hard for that, I believe. We have worked hard for that. But despite all of this, again, we're speaking about very positive things, and none of this our whole conversation we just had never happened before deadline day. We wouldn't have happened before deadline day. And we talk about, before deadline day, how much panic stations were going around the fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, is this sort of masked how bad of a January it really was? Because say we did make them signs. I know it's very hypothetical, and we did make them signings. Even though they were late, we still made them. And they may not have been our first option signings. But did it show how bad things are at the club in terms of getting things over the line, in terms of connection between top to bottom, in terms of how Tan has got the... I mean, we speak about how Tan's got the place running for years and years, and I think that, like, this January is a perfect opportunity. Like, it sort of felt like a sort of no-excuse type of time, was the fact that it was our first time we could spend money. We haven't spent money in 2 years. We have a decent manager now who's come in, and the fans are behind him. He sort of brought in half a philosophy. That's still a question on his philosophy. But he's a good manager that players can get behind and the fans can get behind. Why wasn't he received a full backing? I understand, again, football is not as simple as I want that player, I'm going to buy him. There's so many things that go into it. But with us having 2 years out of the transfer market, we shouldn't be making all our signings on the transfer deadline day. Like you said, Henry, earlier, like, you were expecting to see a signing on the first week of January.
Yeah, but then I also think Bullitt needed to temper, needed to rein in his expectations of who he wanted to sign. You know, we all saw the names. I mean, you all saw how he conducted himself in press conferences, talking openly about Moore and the Greek gentleman. And if you went to any of the meet and greets, he was quite open about that. He was quite confident that both Moore and the Greek gentleman would arrive. Of course, reality kicks in. And we simply couldn't compete. Like I said, we couldn't compete with that 3.5-year contract that one guy got. And we all saw what happened with Moore yesterday, the deal he got at Ipswich. Even though we did table a late bid. And actually, you know, I definitely wouldn't have done the deal. Like I said earlier, I wouldn't have done the 3.5-year deal. You know, financial fair play does have massive, you know, limitations. And even though we did our deals later on, I think we'll look back in time and think this is a very sensible and also quite a transfer window that may have laid the foundations, especially, you know, use Turnbull as an example, you know, for the next, you know, 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah. There's no doubt, like, obviously the scouting team have got loads of players on the list. And obviously, as you mentioned, obviously Kiefer Moore is probably right at the top of that list. And having that chance of pulling that off, obviously maybe given limitations in terms of the players who maybe third or fourth choice were happy to stay at their clubs or might have gone elsewhere, we don't know. Obviously on the list, obviously one of them was the Serbian guy who went to France. Maybe he was one of them. So it was obviously no doubt that obviously the club would have had scouting reports on players from the start of the season to all the way up now until in all these different leagues. And what I think is obviously that from Ara, I don't want him to say it, but would it be, it's not a panic buy, but like in terms of, it was, as you mentioned, he lives in Bristol. It made sense in that way in terms of thing. But how high drinking was he on the list?
I mean, what do we know? We know we tried to get the Turkish striker.
And first thing.
He decided to stay in Turkey. We all know about the Moore thing.
Yeah.
From what I was told, the Iliad thing was never really on. And it looked like he used our interest to try and leverage a move to a club he wanted to. It's fair to say the ex-Bristol guy wasn't high up the list. He's still got a house in Bristol. It happened very quickly. But he's only 31. He knows the championship. It won't be the first time a player, you know, hasn't worked out somewhere else, has come back and regained his form. And actually, his profile in terms of what he brings is very similar to Kiefer Moore. So you can see how much Kiefer Moore was in our plans when a striker they brought in is almost identical.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm sure they got a certain style of striker. Obviously, it's probably like KPIs, which obviously key performance indicators, like what they look at and what they want in players, and obviously similar. I went writing him off. I was just saying, in terms of how like easy it was for him to come and obviously lives in Bristol, and it made sense. And I'm sure there's probably players on that list now. They got ready for next season. We don't even know about him, 10 times better.
We brought in the new head scout, didn't we? So.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone knows Cardiff, they prior to that, there were only two scouts at the club. Well, I think, or two, or there wasn't many, were there? So they were already
two chief scouts. I'm sure it was two chief head scouts.
You know, so we've increased that. We've expanded that department. Probably too early for him to put any type of footprint on this window. But, you know, you would have thought he'd have a lot more pull and names and lists come the summer.
Yeah. But in terms of obviously coming in, there's a lot of work to do. Obviously, the staff who are working beyond the deals and stuff will have reports. But in terms of him understanding, obviously, what Bullet wants and then looking what they've already got and knowing what he knows, then the turnaround of actually then contacting agents and players is obviously... It's not enough time. It's not a lot of time, really. The last thing you want to do as well is to panic buy in the January transfer window. Like you don't want to set us up for another 2 years, for example. I don't want to say it, but like doing players like Sawyers, you don't want someone like that on your books for another 2 years if it's not in the plans or it was just there just because it was a striker available type of thing.
But it happens a lot in football. That's the problem, especially around the transfer. But that's why I was saying earlier about we should have had that panic buys up until the 25th. I know it takes time to sign these players, but I would have thought it would have been a bit more structured around. Again, I'm not behind the scenes. I'm not there doing the transfer, so I don't know at all. But I thought it would have been a bit more structured around the transfer window. But knowing how Cardiff City run there, they really weren't. But just to go back, guys, I need to go back. Kiefer Moore then. So, Henry, what do you think went wrong with it? Because even on the pods, we spoke on the pods... Us, me, you and Will, very confidently about him coming in. There was a lot of signs, there was a lot of talk here and there about this happening, him getting the house there. And many talks about how it could still happen in the summer of Kiefer Moore coming back to the capital. What do you think went wrong?
From
your point of view.
People can change their minds. I was under the impression he was quite open in the recent Wales camp, so he wanted to come back to Cardiff. Everyone knows about the you know, he's already, you know, bought a house in Cardiff. But he wouldn't be the first time a player has, you know, originally wants to do something and then gets his head turned. He's still a professional footballer. He still might think in his head he can play in the Premiership. Ipswich give him the best chance for that. I think the only thing I would say on this, if Moore's plan is to roll the dice with Ipswich, if they don't get up, maybe come to us and try and get a permanent deal in the summer. Because it's clear to say, if you look at the actual minutes he played for Bournemouth in the league this year, he's done there. He didn't fit their system. He's not really a backup. I think he's played... I think about less than 100 minutes in the Premier League this season. That's not backup stats. That's just them making up the numbers. I think, you know, if he's put all his eggs in the Ipswich basket, I think we have to say no this summer.
Do you think?
I think so.
Even if we haven't got a striker replacement income that time?
Well, I don't think we should be his backup plan. I don't think, you know, I do think it was, you know, now or never in regards to that. It definitely can't roll on next summer. You know, it can't be something that, you know, again, we are we his backup in case a team he really wants comes in for him. I think as a club we move forward and draw a line under it. And see, you know, and it's easier to buy players in the summertime. It's easier, you know. Let's see if this new scout can find the next Ilak before he goes to a club. You know, let's see who we can bring in.
Yeah, it's definitely up in the air. It's definitely up in the air to say the least. But hey, we've got the rest of the season now to see what we can do. But a little pause on the transfer talk. We're going to move on to a little segment, but before we do, remember, we're at SwazPod on the Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. So like, love, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. And I can already see Will grinning because his favourite section of the show is the Guess the Bluebird segment, which is the segment of the show where mine and the guest's Bluebird knowledge is tested, where we simply guess the Bluebird. So Will, who have we got for this episode?
Today... we got a player who started at Joe Public in 2002.
Hang on, before you go on. Okay, he started at Joe Public. Henry, last time we done this, who got it out of me and you?
No, you did eventually.
I did eventually. But the time before that, you got it before me, I remember. So we're 1-1
I got Craig Newton seconds.
That's it. So we're 1-1. We're 1-1. Go on, Will. Sorry.
So Joe Public, 11 games, 9 goals. Before then, joining Joe Connection in 2002, playing there between 2002 to 2004, playing 31 games, scoring 30 goals. Before then, joining Southampton in 2004, playing there for 3 years, playing 71 games, scoring 19 goals. He had a loan spell during his time at Southampton as well, Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke City, playing 7 games. And he was at Sheffield Wednesday between 2004 and 2005, 7 games, 7 goals. Before then, obviously, going to Stoke, 13 games, 3 goals. Before then, joining Sunderland in 2007, playing 3 years for Sunderland, playing 94 games, scoring 26 goals. He then joined Stoke City in 2010, spending four years stint there, playing 88 games, scoring 13 goals. Before joining us in 2014 for 2 seasons, playing 64 games, scoring 17 goals. He went on loan during his time at us as well, for 6 games at Bournemouth, scoring 1 goal. He also went on loan to Al Jazeera, 11 games, 3 goals, before then joining Atlanta United in 2016-17, playing 17 games, scoring 2 goals, and then finished his career at Central, playing 5 games, 4 goals.
It's the striker, isn't it? The Trinidadian striker.
Oh! Kenwyn Jones! Oh, I didn't know. Who are we giving that to?
I give that to Henry. He said.
What do you mean?
Well, he said the player, isn't
he? I know. He was going to guess to it, 100%.
Yeah. If you weren't there, I think you would have got it before you if you didn't say it.
If you were in there. Ah, oh, fair dues, Henry. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't work out.
I thought you were
couldn't work out. I know, man. He's one of my favourite strikers at the point when he was with us. Fair dues, mind his record at all the clubs. I loved him.
Take him now.
I take the plate back now.
At 50.
Yeah.
Oh man. What a player, man. Kenwyn Jones. I met him once when I was very young, me and my little sister. My sister must have been about 8 and we were walking through the corridors, getting into our seat, and he was just walking out in his suit. What a guy, Kenwyn Jones. Went and got a photo with us. I'll have to maybe share that photo via Twitter. But Kenwyn Jones, what a player.
Very, very good. Actually, would fit the profile of what we need again now.
Big, strong, decent on the ball as well. Decent on the athletic. And he can move. He's athletic. He can move.
He backflips and stuff, doesn't
he? Could do 2 in a row.
Yeah, very, very good player.
Yeah, fits the mould. But anyway, that is guess the Bluebird for the week is none other than Big Kenwyn Jones. So the next segment of the show is the Cardiff City Women's section with Bluebird's women defender, Hannah Power. We're very excited to say welcome back to the Cardiff City Women's section. And of course, we are joined once again by Bluebird's women defender, Hannah Power. Hi, Han. Buzz to have you back. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me back on.
How was your New Year's and Christmas?
Really good, thank you. It seems like a lifetime ago now, but it was a nice chilled one, thank you.
Brilliant, brilliant. Listen, Han, shortly after we last spoke to you, you won your first Player of the Month for the season, immediately after a 5-0 win against Aberystwyth Town. How was the game, and most importantly, how was that time for you during the month of November?
Going to Aberystwyth the last game before Christmas, you've got to stay focused because they're a really tough team to play away from home. So we went into that game knowing that we needed to get the job done, especially before Christmas. You want to stay at the top of the table with as much points as you can. So to come away with a 5-0 win, we were really pleased. We played really well together as a team and it was great. The month of December, winning Player of the Month, was great. Like, I'm so grateful for all the people who voted for me. But I feel like it's a bit of like an imposter syndrome because I feel like anybody could have got it. And I feel as a defender, I'm not somebody who goes up and scores or, you know, creates many chances for the team. So I feel a bit weird winning Player of the Month. I'm really grateful, but yeah, really happy that I get to be named as Player of the Month for that time.
Definitely imposter syndrome, 100%. Definitely. Well, coming into the new year, your first challenge was a massive fixture in the Adjoan Trophy against Wrexham, far way up north, which resulted in a huge 3-1 victory. Did this game prove much of a challenge to yourself and the team?
It's never easy going to play Wrexham away from home, but I feel like we dominated the game and we played really well. We created so many chances, I feel like the scoreline could have been a lot more than what it was. We just weren't clinical in some of the game, but I feel like it was a really good result for us, especially the first one back after Christmas, you know, getting rid of the Christmas cobwebs. And yeah, it was great to get that win and also go into the next round of the cup.
How was the trip up north?
It wasn't too bad. We went motorway way. Last time we went up there, we went through the lanes, and I remember we all felt sick going up there because it was a minging drive. But it was a really, really decent drive up there this time, which wasn't too bad. It's just long. It's such a long drive up there.
Well, during the game, some big first half goals from Sarah Watkins and Molly Keogh, with Eliza Colley sealing the deal in the second half. I mean, we mentioned her before, but Molly is really at the ground running since putting on a blue shirt. What did you think has helped her make such an impact in this team?
I think she's just really gelled with us, like, on and off the pitch. She's got a really good relationship with us and we've got a good relationship with her. And I feel like she's been really welcomed into the club by us. And I think that's just showing in her game. She's very talented and she's a young, hungry player. She wants to go out there and make a name for herself. And she's working hard in and out of training. So it's really, you know, helping us up front. We needed somebody like that to replace the likes of Phoebe, who was such a crucial player for us last season. So it's great that we've got someone like Molly who can come in and score goals for us.
Of course. And of course, as many people know, long-time servants of the club and effectively legends for the women's team, Danielle Broadhurst and Kath Walsh has both departed to Barry Town for a new challenge this January. Of course, this is a big loss for the team, but for you personally, how much are you going to miss these girls?
Massively. Like you said, they're both legends. They're Cardiff City legends. And the fact that they're no longer in our team, it makes me feel sad because they've put so much of their time and effort into making the club, the women's club, like where it is now, putting it where it is now, you know, helping us win the league last season and winning the cup. They've been a massive part of this club. So it's devastating to see them leave. But I completely understand the decision to get game time at another club and I wish them nothing but the best, but I'm not looking forward to playing against them because I know how good of players they are. They are going to be a really good signing for Barry and they're really lucky to have them.
Of course, and 10 years servants at the club also is no small feat. It's no small feat where they spend most of their career. Yeah, best of luck to them players, best of luck to their career now further on. But also, with players departing, there's left room for players coming in, including new signing Anna Phillips, the bolstered up the goalkeeper position. Can we expect any more signings in January?
You never know. I'm sure there might be some on the horizon. But yeah, Anna's come in. She's a young goalkeeper. So she's got the best role model in Karen Chamberlain, our goalkeeper, and Millie Fawkins. They're both great goalkeepers for her to look up to and gain some experience from, and looking forward to welcoming Anna. But hopefully there'll be some new signings. We need to replace the players that we've lost, like Danielle, who was a massive part of our squad, like midfielder. So hopefully we get some more new signings who can come in and help us continue our success in the league.
Well, despite the unfortunate departures, last Sunday kicked off the Ajahn Premier League again for the new year, with yourself and the girls facing the New Saints in Park Hall. With a close first half and only a one-goal lead, thanks to Meg Bowen, the team came out the second half flying, with goals coming from all over the pitch, including Eliza Colley, Sarah Watkins, Molly Keogh once again, Madison Lloyd and Taija Richardson. Were you expecting such a dominating win straight after the new year?
I wouldn't say I was expecting us to dominate as much as we did, because TNS are a tough team to play. They're very organised. But I feel like we just went out there and we were so focused on Sunday, and it just showed in our game. First half, we went in at 1-0, but I feel like it could have been more than 1-0. Again, we just weren't clinical enough in front of goal in certain situations, but so happy that we got the 3 points, keeping a clean sheet as well. So it was overall a really good game, and we had a lot of travelling fans as well. We've got a really good group of travelling fans this season that travel, you know, far and wide to come and watch us, and we're so grateful for them because they really help spur us on. Because those away games can be tough when you've got no fans, you know, cheering you on and helping you in like the final minute. So it's great for all the travelling fans coming up and seeing those goals go in as well.
That's brilliant. As we know, Bluebirds, we always travelled well. We've always travelled well.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But 10 games now played in the Ajahn Premier, and incredibly still undefeated with 9 wins and a draw. I mean, we spoke about the ambitions a lot throughout the season, but what are the ambitions now we've hit January? Are we going for the big one again?
Yeah, 100%. We want to win the treble. We didn't quite do it last year, so we want to do it this year. Remain unbeaten, finish top of the league, go to Champions League again in the summer and win both cups. That's our aim. And it's to keep our standards high as well. Not just win games, but dominate games.
100%. Well, thanks so much, Hannah, for coming on. We're very thankful to have you on once again. And best of luck for the upcoming fixtures and the trebles incoming.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. So that was the Cardiff City women section. Thanks so much for Hannah to join us once again, and best of luck to them continuing their unbeaten season. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. But moving on, lads, let's go back to transfers. As we know, there's a lot to mention. A lot more to mention. But first, let's mention the players that did go out the door. We mentioned a couple earlier. And again, all players that left or went on loan went out pretty late. Except from Ike Ugbo, who was called back to his parent club pretty early. Let's say, lads, he didn't have a terrible... I mean, he didn't show anything special, but he was one of them strikers that got himself at the right place at the right time, and he could finish if it came to him. He had that winner just before he went. I mean, do you feel it was a bit unfair that he was called back, lads, or were you happy with the decision? What do you think, Henry?
I thought he played better with Ramsey.
Yeah.
But he was, I think he was always going to go back. I think. You know, he got his goals, did generate a few points, so we'll be very grateful for that. But as soon as you know, we were always going to, I was told ages ago, we were always going to review the loan players and see if we can get a better loan player in.
Yeah, most definitely. But Ugbo went back to his parent club as well as struggling Runnison back to Arsenal. I don't want to knock down the lad, but I don't think there'll be any complaints there.
I didn't realise how old he was. I thought he was like young. Apparently he's 20. Yeah, flip it out. He needs to get a career. Like,
Arsenal terminated his contract, didn't they?
Have they?
Yeah, he I think he's joined Copenhagen. They terminated his contract.
Wow.
He needs to get on the ball. Like.
Yeah, well...
He needs to start playing regularly. Like,
it's like what we put on Twitter, on the Swaz. We said, like, this just may not be his level. Like, he may not... And someone put, well, he may just not be very good at football. And I thought it was a bit harsh when I read it, but it just may not be his thing. Like, he's been at Arsenal, really. Been a training player for years and years. Few loans here and there, never impressed anywhere really on loan enough to make a stay anywhere. Okay, he's played for Iceland, but again, this isn't 2016. Iceland are not making any noise these days. I don't like to knock players too deep, but yeah, I just don't think this was anywhere near his level. anywhere near this level. But along with our on Twitter, there was plenty of back and forth with us on Twitter with a lot of Swazzers. Just want to say we appreciate that. It was definitely a lot to talk about in the month of January, and I think we got through it together pretty well. But along with that, Rinnemotta has gone on loan to Rotherham, which we mentioned earlier, while Ebu Adams has gone on loan to League One side Derby, who'll be pushing for a promotion, even despite them not picking up too much points. And talented and hopeful Eli King has gone to Ross County for the remainder of the season, which I think is a fantastic loan for himself. I mean, he's gone to Morecambe, done pretty well, called back and straight back out to the SPL. I mean, we mentioned earlier how much of a level it is. We can argue about the level it is all day, whether it's at the Championship level or not, but the fact is, it's high-pressure games, and Ross County is not a small club within Scotland. It's really not a small club.
He's already, I think his debut was at Parkhead, wasn't it? Against Celtic.
Yeah, you mentioned that, didn't you, Will?
Yeah. Good experience as well, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good experience, and obviously physical, a bit like the Championship, so get a lot of game time there and develop, and obviously a different country, grow as a man as well, come home.
I got to say, when Eli went out, it did give me a bit of confidence. I knew players were coming in.
Yeah.
You know, because we didn't recall any of our loans.
Yeah.
That gave me, I did give me, because I'm a big Eli King fan. I think there's a player there.
Definitely. From Ebu Vale. Not far, lad. He knows the club. I feel like I like about him? I think he's quite fearless.
He's a good athlete. He's a good athlete. Mid. You know, he's another unit. I think he's 6 foot, 6 foot one. Big lad. And knows how to pass. And I don't think he will be afraid to pass the ball forward.
No. Not at all. And not afraid to put himself in positions to maybe even nick a goal or two either. So yeah, no complaints there. And like I said, I think it's a great loan. That's a great loan. But along with that is Jonathan Panzo, also ending his loan spell in the capital, going back to Nottingham Forest. I mean, it never quite worked for him here, did it? I mean, it was a bit unfortunate. It's definitely a decent player there. I mean, we can't argue that. It may be in another system. Like you mentioned earlier, Henry, he's not really a centre-back that gave you so many goals. So maybe in another system, it might have impressed. But I don't think it was the right match.
I mean, the good thing about Panzo is he turned Swansea down and joined us.
That was probably the best thing he'd done in a blue shirt.
You know, but yeah, he was always going to struggle to make the team due to the amount of goals that were coming from the two centre backs.
Yeah.
What I find interesting now, though, all these rumours, obviously, might go into like change formation of the back five. He must be kicking himself. How can you like go? To go back and then get another centre half in, then you know, change the formation of that five. Obviously, a left footed centre half, which are very rare as well these days. I find it a bit, it's a bit interesting, isn't it? Obviously, I know we're getting to Nat Phillips, but I'd be a bit
surprised if we do a five. I would be surprised.
I think it gives us the option to do a five where definitely. We never really had before. We're getting these extra players in. I mean, I think it comes down to, as well, is would you rather Phillips or would you rather Panzo?
I take Phillips personally. Much more experience. I understand he's got a couple more years in him, but much more experience. I mean, he's played some big games. He's been on big. He's had some big loans as well.
Yeah, another big loan.
You throw Phillips. The two, McGuinness and Gutas.
Yeah. You put them Gutas. Up there with NG as well, running around the box.
You throw in the new striker as well. It's quite a few guys there who were pushing. You were over 6'4".
Yeah, because that was the other player I was about the winning mentality. He's won Chapman's League with Liverpool. He's played in like a Premier League season. Remember when Van Dijk and there was injury crisis? He stepped in at centre half and played unreal. So obviously there's some experience, some player there. But you know, I was just disappointed. I always followed Panzo's career when he was younger and he was getting these England 21s. I always thought there's a player there. And obviously he's gone straight to France.
He's in Belgium, though, isn't he, for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
He's gone Belgium, is he?
So it's worked out for him. He was just unlucky. I think he couldn't have been able to play as a left back either, because I think I know that with Collins running on fumes, if he could have, I think he would have played left back, and he clearly didn't have the profile for that.
Yeah.
I heavily agree. But I mean, I think that Phyllis is a great signing. Yeah. In my opinion, I even commented on the Instagram post. That's how much of I thought it was a great signing. Like, again, whether he's going to start or not over Gutas and McGuinness, who I think has been probably one of our bright spots of the season. Again, they've had a couple of mistakes in him, but that's going to happen over the championship season. But yeah, big lads, good experience.
Sorry, what I like about Phillips is he can come in through the centre backs and you're not going to lose that goal threat.
No.
I think the problem we had at the end of the year into this year, there were a lot of players who knew they were going to get picked regardless.
Yeah.
And you don't want that in any type of, you know, professional football team, because no. You know, players know they don't have to, you know, give 100%.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps people, players honest. So both centre backs know that Phillips, even if we stick to the, you know, the formation we played all year, they know that if they hit a bad run of form, Phillips are going to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's really interesting as well is the fact what's going on in Liverpool with Klopp leaving. Phillips hasn't played in ages as well. You might be thinking, right, this is the time next season for me to move on. And if he impresses here, he knows, well, Cardiff see a decent side in the championship. We'll obviously see what happens this year, and might be his destination place. If not, he knows I've proven myself now. I'm either championship level or I'm too good for the championship, and I want to move.
Well, that was going to be my next point, to be honest, Will, is the fact that he's getting to the age now, isn't he, where he's going to be looking to move on. I mean, he's had the experience of playing for Liverpool, played some decently big games and so on. He's going to be looking for a move. And if we can show him that is the home here for him, I'd take him every day of the week. I really would take him every day of the week. But I think it's a sign in that could definitely, come the end of the season, we could be speaking about, like, wow, what how great was it bringing him in January transfer deadline day. But we're soon to find out. But also about players going out on loan, James Crowe, Xavier Benjamin, Kean Ashford, all going out on loan. I mean, wise decisions, Henry. Are we finally now investing into the youth a touch, or giving them the time of day?
I mean, I think Crowe's gone to the same place Ernie went when he went on loan, and that was the loan that made him as a player.
Wow.
I don't think he's definitely got a. I think it's the same club, off the top of my head. But it's a physical type of football. It's either away from home, so it could set him up for the rest of his career, a real good run at a senior football.
And he's a good player. We've seen the player in him. Hey, look, give him a season there, and maybe a couple of seasons. We know Cardiff move a bit slower, and say we don't manage to get that striker replacement, it might be right on our doorstep. Even if it's not James Crowe, even if it's not Kean Ashford, even if it's not an Isaac Davies coming back. I know he doesn't fit the mould of what we look for in strikers, but still. I mean, I like the fact that we're now starting to see, or Tan's regime and Tan's board are now starting to see a few of the benefits of actually putting a bit of time and effort into our youth, and a bit of time and effort into the talent that's so much talent around the Cardiff City Football Club. So, no, I think it's great to see that actual players are actually going out on loan.
The only thing I like to add to that, one of the things I get asked a lot is you know, we got to give youth a chance. I think you've got to get the foundation of the team right first.
Of course.
So when young players come in, I mean, someone said to me in January, well, Alex Ferguson just used to chuck him in. No, he didn't.
No.
If you look at that United team, when they came through, you had arguably the best goalkeeper in Premiership history.
Yeah.
You had Palliser, Bruce, Irwin in defence. You had Roy Keane in midfield. And you had, you know, Cantona and Cole up front. So the spine of the team was there. And that's actually what we've done in this window. I think we've massively improved in goalkeeper. We've brought in a good midfielder in Turnbull. a more traditional. I may have been a bit harsh when he first signed. I mean, but if you look at his profile, he has scored in the Championship. He knows the league. His game isn't built on pace, so being 31 isn't that much of a negative. And he's one thing I'll definitely say is hold-up play and his link-up play is better than Yak and Ateis. So we've already improved, the spinal which gives younger players a better chance to thrive.
Yeah, and again, we'll give him his chance. We'll give him his chance to prove himself, Amara, Jeju. I mean, he could be the answer to all our problems. We don't know. He could just be exactly what Bullet is missing, exactly what's stopping us scoring from open play.
He could come in with a mood saying, "Right, I'm going to impress over the next few months, and I'm going to get a permanent deal."
Yeah,
yeah,
and he should because the opportunity is right there for him to take. It is right there for him to take. But as you mentioned as well, Henry, the American keeper Hofrath from Nottingham Forest. He's actually played international football also. I mean, could he be looking to challenge Jack Ornick's number one position?
I think he starts.
Do you think he starts straight off the back?
Yeah, 6'4", much bigger presence. Fundamentally, I think he's a better goalkeeper than Alnick. He's like, Alnick's not a big guy. This guy is. And I hate to say it, some of the goals against Plymouth, Alex shouldn't have let in. I think sometimes a big physical keeper like that gives your defence more confidence as well.
Yeah.
Can we talk about we talked about Winston earlier? He must have given the centre backs heart attacks
constantly.
I think he starts. I think, again, it goes back to what I said about improving the spine of a team. I think he does.
Yeah.
And also a signing we actually forgot to mention, lads, which was the first signing of the transfer window. Don't get me wrong, at the time it was relatively underwhelming, but it was a young Japanese centre-half, Ryotaro Tsunoda, who was loaned out immediately to sister club, KV Cordric, along with Shea Ojo and our beloved Isaac Davis. So, I mean, again, anything can happen there. Anything could be there. He could be the next big thing. He could be the next waste of money. Who knows?
I know a few fans have watched his first game and were impressed with him.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He went there because he wouldn't have qualified for work permit to play for us. So he's now gone to Belgium to get enough what he needs so he can qualify for work permit. And again, if you look at him and maybe there's an eye for him to play next season, it means, again, missing out on Giles could be a lucky escape, because if this guy's a left-sided defender or a left-sided centre-back, you don't want to commit yourself to having to pay $4 million for Giles. We got this Japanese gentleman who we might want to develop. So it's also nice to see one eye to the future.
Yeah, yeah. I like the structure of how we've done it. I mentioned it to you both, like, using that Belgium club in terms of getting players experience, playing against competitive teams, some good teams in the Belgium league. It also gives us a chance to actually look at players in our league and compare players that we know out their quality and players in our league that we might think, oh, we mind him in our team. Like, for example, when they go and watch like Davis and all these players play for this team now, our scouts obviously watch them, but they might look the opposition players and say, oh, don't mind him, like, what's his name, or you're left on his contract, is it? Because I think the Belgium league's got some decent players, there's some gems in there, and that now we've got players and scouts looking at the league, I think we could get some players. And even if we are with our new head scout as well, if he's going to scout abroad, and we have to do the same thing that we did with this defender now and get him work permit and send him to Belgium, I think it'd be a good little thing to use and both benefit, because it only benefits us, but benefits them as well, Belgian team, because they're getting these quality players and it's helping them.
I also love that we're starting to look to bring in players from Asia as well. I feel like that should have been something we should have been doing years ago. I feel like that's a really untapped market.
We've tried it in the past.
Of course, but
we've tried it in the past. We the problem we've had is we've been too reactionary. There's never been any form of sort of plan.
Long term.
it's like Morrison was supposed to herald this new style of play with all this brand new squad. And apart from, I mean, the loan signings were always going to be quality because they were from, you know, established Premiership youth policies. But a lot of the permanent signings, apart from O'Dowda in that summer, have turned out to be disastrous. Not disastrous. Not...
That's a good point, though. No, they haven't turned out even us after that first season under Morrison, Hudson, and so on. Even in that first season, and Sabri Lamouchi, even under that first season, I don't think some of the players that were such a big part of that season, again, it wasn't a good season, we just well survived. But those of them players that was an integral part of it, look at them now. A lot of them.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I mean, potentially, you know, come the end of the summer, there'll be a very few of them left. You know, O'Dowda probably.
If he's been injured for the whole season.
He's been injured most of the season. I mean, Robinson's got a big 6 months now coming up.
Massive.
Sawyers won't be here. You know, because his contract expires. They terminated Campbell's contract on deadline day. So there'll be, you know, very few of those. So really, if you look at that whole class of that season, it's only really been Collins and O'Dowda. You know, and O'Dowda would be if he was fit, he'd be in the first team. It's only really been those two players who've been a success.
It's just pretty crazy when you think about it. It's almost like Steve Morrison didn't really know what he's doing. It's almost like he weren't really that good of a manager. Don't get me wrong, he done his best. But it's almost like he never had any managerial experience before.
I don't think you put it all on Morrison. I think, you know, the club, it's, you know, the club is driving a lot of the signings. And,
100%.
They just got the profiles wrong. They just got it badly wrong.
100%, and like they have so many other times. And when I have ever come out and said anything about against the manager, I understand. I always have against, not always had, but more so than ever managers against Morrison's. But against Morrison, but no matter what, sorry Henry, but no matter what, I always blame the club first and foremost above. For the last 10 years, everything that's gone wrong with the club is all come from the top. From all comes from the top, lack of planning, and then who's at the top is hiring the person at the bottom, hiring the person under them. It's all come from then. Everything that we're in now, the whole reason why the club is in the situation it's in, and we're nowhere near maximising our potential, is because of that.
Oh, I fully agree there. It was insane to give Steve Morrison a job on a permanent basis, where his only experience of that kind was managing the youth team. I completely agree. Completely agree with that, and the board, have to take full responsibility for that, and it failed badly, and then they tried it again with Hudson, and that didn't work, and then they tried it again. They did. If Whitehead had got results, they would probably have tried to run with him for a bit.
Yeah.
Finally, they, you know, I think Bullitt is. Is better than all those names I mentioned by quite a bit, and there has been quite a massive turnaround. You know, we talk about goals, lack of goals, recent games. We only scored 42 last season. That's less than a goal a game. So there, you know, so we massive improvements on there. But yeah, a lot of things, you know, a lot of the mistakes we've had. A down to poor decisions at the highest level.
Of course, and that's how it's been for the last 12 years. But despite all of this, guys, we've now come out of January and, well, arguably a pretty decent transfer window. But that was going to be my next question. I'm not asking how you felt after the 20th. I'm not asking how you felt after the 21st. I'm not even asking how you felt after the 30th. I'm asking how you feel as of today. Now, the January transfer window is all done, closed up shop. Put the key in, lock the door. How would you rate the January transfer window out of 10? Let me start with you, Henry.
Legendary. I'll go with at least eight or seven or eight. I think if you look at the players who've come in, I think they're much more sensible options with a very high ceiling. I think also you've got to give credit for the players we were able to get out as well. So we were able to get rid of the unperforming loans, able to get rid of some of the players on decent wages out on loan. And we've signed players. I'm sorry again, I apologise. I keep getting the names, forgetting the names. I think it's a good thing we missed out on Giles. I got the guy from Man City.
Yeah.
I think Turnbull has a much higher ceiling than some of the players we've been listed with. He's younger. Like I said, his wages basically are the equivalent to what we pay Adams and Reno. So that's a much more sensible approach.
Yeah.
You know, rather than trying to buy someone and give him, you know, close to £30,000 a week, it's no transfer is guaranteed, and it's not every transfer is going to be a success. But you have to limit yourself to to what could go wrong in terms of buying a player on high wages and that player just not producing. I mean, we saw that, we just talked about now about a lot of recruitment. Sawyers, Reno, Adams, Campbell. You know how much we paid them in, and we saw very little return. Now I think potentially all five players we signed could potentially start against Watford.
Yeah.
And have an impact. So I think if you look at that, it's a very sensible, good window that can lay the foundation, for future success.
Very interesting. So you're giving it a 7 or an 8?
I'll give it an 8.
An 8.
One last question for you, Henry. If it would have got Kiefer Moore through the door, would have that pushed it to a 10?
I think so. I'm gutted it didn't happen. I got a lot of abuse yesterday, and then Rob Phillips and Abbo said it could happen, it could be on, and it was interesting. He's going to score at this level. I think he's still in his prime. I think he's his game isn't built on pace, and I think he's got better since he's left us. He's there's still a good. I say we shut the door in the summer. If he comes knocking, I think you have to. I don't know.
We'll find out, Henry.
We'll find out. The crazy thing is that there were literally builders who follow me on Twitter saying, I got mates working on the house. crazy. It's.
What a saga.
I don't know though if I would have matched the Ipswich deal. I think that's a financial fair play is real. It's a real it impacts a lot of things. A lot of clubs like Ipswich are full. After gambling massively that they go up. There's only three places. Leicester look like they've got the top one. I think Leeds are gonna power ahead and take the second.
100%.
I mean, that's a battle then between Southampton, Hull, Ipswich, and for that final third promotion spot, that's a big gamble for some clubs.
100%. But what a saga. Don't be sad it's over. Just be happy it happened. So Koshy, quickly to you.
Yeah.
How would you rate this transfer window out of 10?
I'll give it a 9. I would give it a 10 after you've more. But as Henry basically mentioned, we got the deadwood, as you want to say. The players who were at the club weren't playing, and we need to get them out. And the sign of Turnbull has really boosted that for me. I really rate him, think he's a good player, and what we need. Obviously, Natfit's coming in, so them two players are winners. And then it's exciting. It seems like, especially with all the players you brought in, it seems like you understand what they're going to do and where they're going to play and the reason behind it. And I think some of them are quite smart in terms of what's going on in their clubs, and might be a possibility next year to get them as well. But overall, I think it's a good window, and quite happy what's happened.
So we got an 8 and a 9. I think I'll have to go on myself at a 7, more so of how the whole of January went. But like I said, and like you boys have mentioned, it could have gone a lot worse. And in the end, we've walked away now at the end of January with some good signings, decent. Like Henry mentioned, we could have 5 players starting against Watford. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about and a lot to be happy about. But the only reason I won't give it too much credit is because I feel like, especially throughout the January, it showed how our club is run and how poorly the connection from top to bottom is. And quite fairly, we were quite lucky to come out of it with a positive thing to say. But nonetheless, we've made it out the end, and now it's all about the end of the Championship season and how we can finish. We say it so many times, we'll say it so many more times, is how you finish the Championship season makes all the difference. So it'll make such a huge, huge impact on how we finish the season. But lads, starting to come to the end. But before we finished, I want to know your tune of the week. Koshy, let me start with you.
Go for tune of the week for Zombie by the Cranberries. Obviously, a bit of a tune. It was a big hit in the Rugby World Cup, and the rugby's starting again tonight, so the Irish singer normally if they win, and I think it's a tune. Funny enough, I went Barcelona, and that was the first song I had on the bus in Barcelona. How mad's that?
Lovely. Yeah, that's lovely.
Really, like, do you like obviously you get a normal bus. For some reason, the music was on, and that song was like, am I in the UK? Like, I had to, like, double think. Like, where I was looking around me, like, am I actually in Barcelona? But yeah, so I'll put that on. That was my tune of the week.
Wow, oh, wow, fantastic, Henry. What is your tune of the week?
I completely forgot about this.
Oh, it's Henry! For goodness sake!
I'm going to go with, because January, like I said to you earlier, I quite enjoyed the summer. January. So let's go with This Is The End by The Doors.
This is the end. Is this the end of Henry Say being in the know? Are you going to say it on the podcast exclusively?
People always think, you know, like all the transfer deals are done in, you know, by an underground bunker that's hidden behind a blast door, with Dalman sitting behind a desk with a red phone. You know, you guys know I tell you things I never even share on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's
like a drug, isn't it, Henry? You can't give it up, can you? You can't give it up.
I gotta admit, the positive interactions massively outweigh with the trolls. You know, people stopped me in the street and thanked me and said, you've really helped me feel positive about the football. You know, people invite me to games. People, you know, it's nice. But it's been, you know, the summer was nice. The summer, January was just a grind. But then I guess that's the problem when you've been under embargo and it's the first time you can spend money. You try and do it when it's much harder to do in January rather than the summer.
Yeah. And I think you missed out a song there. You should have said, I'm Still Standing, Elton John.
yeah. But it was emotional.
So my tune of the week, lads, I've gone for Pressure by Rushy. If you have a listen to it, make sure you go out and listen to it. It's a big tune. It's a tune I listen to every morning to remind myself that I never crumble under pressure. We rise above it. Pressure makes diamonds. Never forget. But that's all we got for today, Swazzers. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. We hope every single one of you has a great year full of good luck and blessings. And hopefully now, we look at our new look Bluebirds can give us something to be excited about. But we'll soon find out. But until then, we'll see you next time.
Bluebirds!